And now, Missouri Medical Focus, a regular feature on KBIA, produced by the Communications Department of University of Missouri Healthcare.
Recent media stories concerning current influenza activity prompted me to invite Dr. Michael Cooperstock, Director of Infection Control at University of Missouri Healthcare, back on the program to discuss this issue.
First of all, thanks so much for having me here. Influenza is an important topic to talk about because it, in one way or another, affects just about everyone. And it's a serious infection that we can do some things about, so it's good for us to be talking about this.
It seems that H1N1 is the most prevalent strain this season.
Well, it definitely is the most prevalent. The current numbers are that it's accounting for about 99% of all the influenza that's occurring right now. There are a few other strains that could become more active later, but this is the one for now.
Is the H1N1 strain more dangerous than other strains?
Well, it is and it isn't, depending on which part of it you talk about. The good news is that people over about age 60 to 65 have apparently lived through a time in the past, back in the 1950s, when they experienced a virus something like this, because that age group seems to have at least partial protection against this virus, which is lucky because the older age group is the most susceptible to severe complications of the flu. So that's the good side. It doesn't mean that there's not some concern in that age group, but there is. And then for people who are younger, I don't believe it's that the virus is any more virulent than other strains of flu. They're all pretty virulent. But this one is one that the population in that age group has just never experienced before and appears to have very little immunity, so that we've seen some fairly severe cases in the last few years with this virus.
H1N1 first emerged in the summer of 2009, but I haven't really heard that much about it since. Has that strain been around since then, or is it just reemerging from 2009?
Well, no, it's still been around. That year, 2009, was amazingly unusual in that this virus came as a worldwide epidemic that started back as early as April that year. And this is a virus that we almost never see during the spring and summer.
Right, you wouldn't see influenza, or it would be tapering off by April.
In the winter, so it really took off for reasons probably having to do with just no immunity in the population. So there was a huge wave that fall, and then as the winter time came, a second wave, when influenza likes to come, occurred. So that was a very large year, and there were excess deaths that year because of that virus. And then since then, it's still been around, but hasn't really taken off for reasons that we don't know. Until this year, it seems to be having another heyday.
Are the symptoms any different from other strains of influenza?
Really not. So you're talking about an illness that hits usually suddenly, sometimes to the minute people can tell when they started having it. And with a fever, chills, headache, sore throat, some degree of cough, and muscle aches. So if in the present time, if someone has a fever of 102 and they're in bed, the chances are that they've got influenza.
You're listening to Missouri Medical Focus on KBIA 91.3 FM. And our discussion is influenza. What is the development of the vaccine like each year, and how are those decisions made as to what strains are included in the vaccine?
Well, it's an interesting process. It takes the classical way to make this vaccine is actually to grow the virus in chick embryos, in other words, in living eggs. So the virus is actually, the vaccine strain is actually injected through a tiny hole into an egg. In each individual egg is injected, and the virus grows up that way, and then the vaccine virus is purified from that, and then the vaccine itself is just a couple of the molecules that are in there are purified out from that. And that whole process takes many months, so they have to have made a decision by no later than April in order to have a vaccine that's available in September. So that process involves some educated guesses as to which strains to put in the vaccine.
Are they looking for what was occurring the year before or in different parts of the world?
Both of the above. So there's an expert committee that forms, reviews all the data on all the cases that they can get their information about, and makes some decisions based on what's occurred in the previous years, what they think might be the immunity level in the population. And we have the advantage of knowing what strains have occurred in the winter in the southern hemisphere by that time. So if strains that are epidemic in the southern hemisphere may very well become epidemic in the northern hemisphere as we get into our winter.
What is the protection level of a vaccine?
The flu vaccine is not perfect. And people will tell me, Dr. Cooperstock, I got that vaccine and I got the flu anyway. And my answer is always the same, based on sound scientific evidence, that they would have been much sicker had they not had the vaccine. So even though it prevents the disease completely about 60 to 70% of the time, if you've had the vaccine and you do get the flu, it'll be milder on the average than it would have been without the vaccine.
And if you're preventing influenza in yourself, you're also preventing the spread of influenza throughout the community and in your own immediate family.
That's exactly right. So the more people that are immunized in a family, the more everyone is protected. And that's especially true in certain circumstances. If there's a small baby at home, we know that babies, the younger the baby, the more risk of some complication occurring if they get the flu. And there is no vaccine that can be given under 6 months of age. So if you have a small baby in the house, it's particularly important that everyone else be fully immunized against the flu. And the same would hold if you have a person in the family who's got a chronic illness or is suppressed, doesn't fight infection well. That person may have gotten a vaccine that doesn't work as well in that person. And so for the rest of the family to be immunized is a protective factor for that person.
You had mentioned that small babies under the age of 6 months are not able to be vaccinated. Are there any other limitations in terms of vaccination?
There are few other limitations. It was for some time we had said that a person who has allergic hypersensitivity to eggs should not be immunized because, as I mentioned, the vaccine's made in eggs and there might be traces of that egg protein in the vaccine. But recent research in the last few years has shown that even people who are known to be have mild reactions to eggs in their diet can still be immunized. We have them stay in the office and be observed for 20 minutes or 30 minutes after their immunization just to be sure. But really the reactions in those people are not severe enough to keep them from having the vaccine. And the other side of it similarly is that anyone who has had a clear-cut allergic reaction after a flu vaccine itself would be considered not a candidate for vaccine.
The reports I've been seeing with respect to this H1N1 has been that, as you pointed out, it's affecting a group of people who are not typically severely affected by influenza. So certainly anyone can get influenza at any age, but it seems that this H1N1 strain is affecting younger people, and not only affecting younger people below the age of 60, but affecting them in a way that's making them very ill and in some cases actually causing death.
That's true, and there have been deaths with influenza in perfectly healthy people who are in the prime of life. Not many, and there's a lot of publicity surrounding those, of course, and we worry greatly about them. But I don't know that it means the virus itself is any worse, rather than that just the virus is so widespread, and the range of illness any one person can get is from almost undetectable little stuffy nose to very severe. And so if there's a lot of virus around, there will be a few people who are at that extreme end.
Is there anything else that you think is important to discuss about H1N1 or that you think the public ought to know about?
Well, first of all, the H1N1 strain was suspected, and it was put in all of the different forms of vaccine that are available. So if you've had an immunization for the flu this year, for this year's outbreak, it will have included that virus. So that's good news. The second thing is that we would expect this epidemic to be going on for probably another month or so, maybe longer even. And so it is not too late to be immunized now to protect yourself. It does take a week or two for the vaccine to kick in and give you that protection. Even if you get protection for the tail end of the epidemic period, it's still worth it.
Well, that's my time for now. I'd like to thank Dr. Cooperstock for being my guest. From Missouri Medical Focus, I'm Jeff Helscher.
Missouri Medical Focus is a service of University Hospital and Clinics.